Perfect Stranglers contains graphic and explicit content suitable for mature listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, Stranglers, it's Bree.
Hey, Stranglers, it's Kai.
And
that's it. Goodbye. Thank you for coming to our podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think I've ever referred to myself as Kai on this podcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, here she is.
Welcome to it. Here she is. I don't get called Kylie very often. Okay, so here's the thing. I got called Kai my whole life from my friends and my family in Wisconsin. When I moved to Michigan, I got called Kylie. And so when I go back home, it's like I have a different name than when I'm here.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Yeah. Do you have like alternate personalities? A little bit? Because of the name difference?
Okay. Do you remember in beauty school when we all had like a stripper name?
Okay. Yeah.
Do you remember this or no?
Yeah, I do. Because
you do.
Because I was Febreze.
I love that you were Febreze. Do you remember what Ashley was? You didn't name yourself.
No.
Like other people named you.
Yeah.
Like you can't name yourself or your stripper name.
Right.
Jojo, but Jojo was always Jojo.
Yeah.
No matter what. Like, that's just who she is. Ashley was Butterscotch. Do you remember that?
No, I remember you guys calling her Trashly when she got trashed.
Oh, yeah, we did call her that, too. And I, for whatever reason, got called Red Velvet. And I'm like, yeah, I guess like the red hair makes sense. Like, whatever. Everyone loves a fucking redhead. But yeah, when the USA asked if I had multiple personalities, that's immediately what I thought of is beauty school, alternate personalities.
Yes. Also, CC.
It's just a different world.
Ashley would like to be called CC also.
CC. Yes. Giving fake names at bars is a big thing. Yeah. I used to give out, because I was in a relationship at that point, and I just, like, didn't have the time of day for guys. I would give out the number for, instead of 1-900-MIX-A-LOT, I would get the actual, like, numbers for Mix-A-Lot and give out that phone number. And I couldn't even remember it now if I wanted to, but I used to give out that phone number.
Like, for concrete mixing?
You know, from Baby Got Back? No, Baby Got Back. 1-900-MIX-A-LOT. It makes those nasty flots. Baby got
Oh, I thought you were like giving some guy like a number no. for like a concrete company or something. Like the no. concrete mixer.
For Baby Got Back. Because guys are fucking like when guys are drunk at a bar, they don't really care about the number that you're giving them. And I would give them the number for Sir Mix-A-Lot, Baby Got Back.
Wow.
Oh my god, I would, you know, but yeah, everyone have. So if you ask if I have a different name when I go back home, I would say I'm definitely a lot more relaxed and more myself and more comfortable being like my actual self. When I'm here, I'm a little more buttoned up and I try to act a little bit more city and like I know what's going on in the city and I'm a little bit more street smart, I guess, because I'm living in the city. But when I go back home, all of that goes, like, out the door.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just more comfort back home when there's... I feel comfort seeing combine tractors in the fields.
True. True.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a alternate ego that you have?
No. Not really. No? I mean, no. I feel like... Here's what... I was thinking about this the other day, actually. I feel like I have changed a lot. Like, I feel like I haven't changed. I've evolved, I guess you could say, to where, like, when I was in my 20s, I used to just, like, I feel like I used to be fun, but I don't feel like I'm a fun person anymore because I don't do, like, I don't know. I used to be a lot more... louder and outgoing and at times. Mm-hmm. And I'm like that 0% of the time now. Unless you catch me on a camping trip with like a select group of friends or something, to where like we're drinking and then like Fabrizi will come back, like karaoke doing Fabrizi will come back.
Yeah. For, like, but I feel like it makes, like, the older you get, like when you're younger, you have quality, not quantity friends. And the older you get, the quantity goes down, but the quality goes up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that makes a difference of how like outgoing you are and how much that younger like alter ego comes out. Because like wild Kylie doesn't come out very often. Mm-hmm. But when she does, bitch better watch out. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. She doesn't come out very often. When she does, it's like, yeah, there's definitely a 5'9" giant redhead in the room and you better watch out.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're staying at the same hotel as her, you are, she's going to be falling down the hallway. I don't know if you remember that video. Good times. From I wasn't Ashley's there, but birthday? I saw the videos.
From Ashley's birthday?
Yeah, you guys went to the Dells.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
We did.
You stayed at like the Flamingo Motel or something.
Yes, and like I think that I can do vodka, but I can't do vodka, but I can do tequila like a fucking grand champion. Vodka is not my friend. Like, I get my Bloody Marys with tequila, which is called a Bloody Maria. I don't get a Bloody Mary because I can't do vodka. Mm.
Yeah.
Like, at all. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But yes, I every time the pictures pop up of that on my, like, Facebook memories and stuff, I'm like, ah, yes.
Yeah.
The time Kylie couldn't make it up the stairs.
Right. I don't know what the people in that hotel really expected. They probably were not there for rest and relaxation, and they might have been just as drunk as you. So I hope that they weren't trying
I can count,
you know, get a good night's sleep or anything.
Right. And I can count on since I was like 21 and going out into bars and stuff, I can count on one hand the amount of times that I have truly gotten so drunk that I can't drive, because I was always the DD. Mm-hmm. Always. Like, I don't like to be out of control. So, yeah, I can count on one hand in the last decade that I have truly had to have someone else drive. And that was definitely one of those times.
Yeah.
Definitely looked not. Like it. Oh, it was a fun time, though. I had a mohawk. That was fun. It was a fun time. I miss those times where you didn't have responsibilities.
I do, too. Like, I didn't have a lot of money, but, easier. Like... I also didn't have a lot.
But you also didn't have a lot of responsibility. So. Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever.
Yep.
It's a trade-off.
Exactly. That had to have been in 2000. I think it was like 2012. That had to have been 2012, 2000. No, it was 2012. I had to have been, because I don't think I was working at the big salon yet. God, what a time. Yep. What a time. Pre-divorce, pre-engagement, pre-college, pre-moving to pre-kids, all of the things.
Yeah, the good old days.
Ooh. Sorry, that was my time check. We're recording at night on a Sunday night, you guys, and we usually don't have it happen. So you know how you have focus mode?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you have this. Focus mode? I just turned it off. So if you hear a do-do-do, it's my focus mode saying, hey, you're over your time limit. And I'm not over my time limit, but it's like, girl, why are you talking to people this late? That's not like you.
Yeah.
So why don't we do housekeeping, and then we'll get into the case. I'll do housekeeping here. Hi, Stranglers. Thank you so much for listening to us. We love you. We appreciate you. If you want to follow along with us and see what's going on in Strangler Town, go ahead and head to Facebook, which is at Perfect Stranglers, a true crime podcast. Instagram is at @perfect_stranglers, and Twitter is at @perfstranglers. Please subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please give us a 5-star rating and go ahead and leave a review. The reviews really, really, really help us get noticed by fellow listeners who also like true crime, paranormal, all of the things, all of the weird things. That really helps us. And if you have any really strange, weird stories, feel free and, as Bree says, drop us a line on our DMs in either Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, what have you, or go ahead and email us contact@perfectstranglers.com, and we will go ahead and get back to you. And if you listen on Spotify, they now let you do 5-star ratings. So go ahead and hit the 5 stars on Spotify, and that will help us out a shit ton, and we would appreciate it. And that's what I got for you. Bree, what are we chatting about today?
We are talking about the Delphi murders today.
I have no idea what that is, and I'm excited about it.
I think you probably do, actually.
Maybe I just don't know the name?
Yeah.
Okay.
So...
okay, I'm about it.
The Delphi murders. So, okay. I've always been kind of fascinated with this case, and I was reminded of this case recently because there was a very tragic case of a missing girl in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Lily Peters, and when she first went missing, it was just that she was walking alone, walking home, and she was lost, and she didn't come home, and they weren't giving like a whole lot of information at all, and just that just kind of reminded me of the Delphi murders because they didn't give a lot of details for the Delphi murders either. And tragically for Lily Peters, they found out that it was her 14-year-old cousin who actually strangled her. And so it's all like...
oh, it was strangulation?
Yeah. Her...
oh, I didn't know that.
Okay. Yeah. He raped her and strangled her. And he had threatened her before. And... so it's just a really bad situation, and so it hasn't gone to court yet or anything. It's a developing story, but it really reminded me of the Delphi murders in Delphi, Indiana, and so that's what I decided to do this week. The Delphi murders are not completely solved yet. And it has been, it happened in 2017, so it's fairly recent, but it has been a few years. So what happened was that on February 13th, 2017, 13-year-old Abigail Williams and 14-year-old Liberty German woke up at Libby's grandparents' house, after having a sleepover the night before. Libby had lived with her grandparents since she was 3, and Abby, who was her best friend, frequently was a visitor of their home. It was an unseasonably warm day in Delphi, Indiana, on this Monday that would have been a school day had it been not been for a staff development day that gave the girls freedom to do what they wanted. Like most teenage girls, they were always taking photos and selfies of one another to post on social media. They decided that they wanted to go outside for their photo shoot that day and asked to go to the Monon High Bridge Trail, which is part of the Delphi Historic Trails. Their parents were okay with this. They often encouraged the girls to play outside more instead of sitting in front of a screen all day. And the girls were going to be dropped off at the trails by Libby's older sister, Kelsey, around 1:30 p.m., she made sure that they had their sweatshirts, and that they knew to meet back in the parking lot, area of the trails in about an hour and a half to be picked up by Libby's dad. Around 2:07 p.m., Libby posted a picture of Abby walking on the Monon High Bridge, which is an old railroad bridge that was built in 1891 and was abandoned by the railroad in 1987. It is 63 feet high. It's pretty high. And it's believed to be the second highest bridge in Indiana, and it runs over a body of water called the Deer Creek. In this small town of about 3,000 people, this bridge is often a favorite backdrop for wedding photos and senior photos. That photo of Abby on the bridge was the last time anyone would hear from the girls or see them alive. And Libby's father showed up, as promised, to pick up the girls, but they weren't waiting for him, so he waited and tried calling Libby. She didn't answer her phone, and he started to get a little annoyed, thinking that they lost track of time and that he'd have to go out on the trails looking for him. And he walked out on the trails and continued to try and call Libby's phone. Abby's mom was at work, and she was called to let her know what was going on. She left work mad at the girls, thinking that they were just being irresponsible, and that they'd be in big trouble for messing around. Sadly, though, it was much more serious than that. When daylight started to fade, and the girls still didn't answer their phones, and they weren't found, the panic truly set in, and Libby's dad called the police to report the girls missing. The police showed up to the trail within minutes, and all possibilities were explored. They asked if the girls were troubled in any way, where they had would plan to move run away, which seemed very unlikely, as both girls were very conscientious in school and sports, and they loved people and pets, and they were just your average small-town middle school girls. Their Facebooks were looked at for any clues, as if they, like, to see if they'd been talking to anyone, if they were planning to meet anyone, and initially the police did not find anything that indicated to them that there was any foul play, but that all changed. The small community band together, and they started going out in search groups, looking for the girls or any evidence, as to their whereabouts. As the darkness set in on that night of February 13th, the thought was that Abby and Libby were out somewhere goofing around, and now that it was dark, though, that they felt that that was unlikely, because Libby was very afraid of the dark, and her family could not imagine her wanting to be out on a dark trail in the woods, just alone. So now the worst thoughts were starting to come up. You know, what if they got lost? Walking off of the trail, what if they were hurt somewhere, not unconscious somewhere, didn't have phone service? What if they fell off the 63-foot bridge into the shallow creek below? All these thoughts were going through their mind. By midnight on February 14th, there was still no sign of the girls, and the police suspended their search until the morning, telling the girls' parents that they're probably... is no reason to worry, because they would resume their search the next day. And the police told them that the latest movie that was playing at the local theater gets out in a half hour. If you're going to get in trouble for hanging out with boys or something late, you know, maybe that's where they are. So their parents took whatever comfort they could.
What year was this again?
2017. Okay. And I mean, they were still out of their minds with worry. A lot of the, community members, friends and family who had been searching alongside of the parents decided not to give up, and they kept looking throughout the night for the girls. Abby's mom could not reconcile what was happening. Around, 2:30 a.m., while she was out with a search party, she saw everyone shining their flashlights down into ravines, down at the creek, and she realized that they were looking for bodies. She could not deal with that. She was looking for the girls. She was not looking for bodies.
Yeah.
And so she couldn't deal with it. She walked back to the truck and she just sat there and waited. The only thing that she was sure of was that wherever the girls were, they were together. They were so close and they would not have left each other. So the next morning, the police organized an urgent search utilizing many resources from volunteers from the community, police forces from other
communities, firefighters, and trained search teams. Around noon on February 14th, Kelsey, Libby's sister, was out with a search party that had been looking under the railroad high bridge, and she heard someone yell out a question about what the girls were wearing because a shoe had been found. At first, there was a glimmer of hope, but that hope was very soon dashed when they made a further discovery down the bank. The girls had been found deceased less than a mile from where they had started their trail walk. Police locked everything down pretty quick. They did a press conference, but hardly released any information. The cause of the death and injuries of the girls that the girls may have had has never been released.
Wow.
Yeah. It's still to this day. Like, I don't think the parents even know.
Holy shit.
Yeah. A lot of the details have never been released, and they've been closely guarded. On February 15th, 2017, police released some grainy footage of a man walking on the same bridge that the girls were on. This footage was taken from Libby's phone, which was recovered. The short video that she recorded shows an unidentified man with a hat on and a dark coat or vest and blue jeans walking on the bridge with his head down. This screenshot from the short video she recorded is one of the only clues released besides a voice recording. In the photo, the man is coming from the other direction of the bridge. So they're about 40 feet apart, coming from different sides of the bridge. So it's like the girls are coming from one end of the bridge. The guy that she recorded is coming from the other. Mm-hmm. So they're like walking towards each other, basically like going to be meeting in the middle or whatever. So
yeah,
Libby must have sensed something was not right and started to record. Apparently these girls were, they're in middle school and they were fans of true crime. So,
okay, good.
Knew to have some of this, you know, whether or not it was going to result in something bad, she felt, compelled to
record it
just in case. So that was very smart thinking.
Good.
So the girls were actually coming back from the trails and they were trying to cross back over the bridge to get back to the parking area, where Libby's dad was supposed to pick them up. And the suspicious, unidentified man was coming from the parking lot area toward the trails. So they'd have to pass each other, and this bridge is made of very, like, large slats of wood with spaces in between where you could easily trip or get an ankle caught or something if you tried to run across it. So running was probably not a great option, especially for how high it was. If you tripped and fell, that's a very long fall.
Mm-hmm.
So about a week later, the police released another clue from all their guarded information, and it was this voice recording that I had mentioned. The recording, which was also from Libby's phone, was slightly muffled, but it says, "down the hill." It's a man's voice saying, "weird." "Down the hill." And for context, the nearest hill would have been behind the girls, back where they had come from, in the trail area. So the hill behind them in the non-parking lot side of the bridge was where the girls were found deceased. So the assumption is that the same man in the photo is the man who ordered them down the hill. Months went by with no fruitful leads. And then in July of 2017, a few months later, police released a sketch based on witnesses who were also on the trails, who saw the man in the grainy photo that Libby had taken that day on the trails. A $200,000 reward was offered for anybody with information leading to the arrest. There were two people that they looked into as suspects, but they ultimately were ruled out. And then nothing happened with the case for years. But then in April of 2019, Indiana State Police announced a new direction in the case and released a new sketch as well as new direction. And the sketch was of a clean-shaven man and the age range of 18 to 40. Who?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Who?
So every man, basically, right. Unless you're like an older man.
Mm-hmm.
Did I ever tell you about the client that I had that was a bank robber?
No.
Okay. Real quick. So I had a client that was a bank robber. When I worked at JCPenney's salon, her husband was in prison because that's what he did. And he was robbing banks to pay for money for their daughter's medical expenses. I looked up the man. She gave me the man's name. Everything she said about him was like corroborated. What he did was he would slide the tellers a note that said, "Hey, give me this amount of money, I'm robbing the bank." The tellers have to give you the money once you leave from robbing a bank. Then they call the police. They don't do it while you're in there. And he would do this with long hair, a big beard, and police were looking for a man in their 40s. After he would rob these banks, and he would do it every like 6 months, like 4 to 6 months, after he would rob the bank, he would shave his face and his head to where he looked his actual age, which was like early 20s. So he got away with it for a long time because the police were looking for a middle-aged man.
Yeah.
And he was in his 20s.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he eventually got caught and whatever. But he was doing it to pay for medical bills because their daughter had like a very serious medical issue.
Well.
That they couldn't pay for with the insurance.
That's the American medical system for you.
Absolutely it is. I cannot blame him one bit.
Me neither. In a nutshell.
Yep.
I mean, it sounds like he probably didn't hurt anyone, so.
No.
Except for the banks, which the government is very happy to bail out. So that's a whole other thing. Okay, so.
Yeah, that reminded me of that, though, that they were looking for, like, that's such a wide range, like, age range.
Right, yeah. So, yeah. Okay, so the police were, in 2019, they're announcing going a new direction, this clean-shaven guy. They're looking for this suspect with a very wide range, 18 to 40. They're casting a wide net. So this person that they have this new sketch of is believed to be the primary suspect, and the man with the goatee in the other sketch, who was the man that was in the video, is believed to be a secondary suspect. So they think there's actually was two guys doing this. Mm-hmm. So police believe that the suspect is hiding in plain sight and is a local to the Delphi area. They think that the primary suspect probably looks younger than he is. And the latest break in the case came in December 2021 when police... Oh, wow. Asked anyone who had contact with an online profile named Anthony Schatz from 2016 to 2017 to come forward because they believe that this person has something to do with the Delphi murders. They also confirmed that the profile belonged to a 27-year-old man named Keegan Anthony Klein of Peru, Indiana, who is currently in jail for 30 alleged crimes, including possession of child pornography, child solicitation for sex, child exploitation, and obstruction of justice. So.
Oh my God. That's a laundry list.
Yeah, definitely. So what this guy did was he set up fake social media accounts using photos of a model as his profile picture, and he catfished young girls. Last month, this would be last month, so that would be, in March of 2022.
Okay, we're recording this on May 1st, so we'll call it last month, because we were supposed to record it on April 29th.
Okay, yeah. So, the Murder Sheet podcast, obtained, transcripts of an interview with Keegan Klein, when they were accidentally posted on a county website. So these transcripts from the August 2020 interview reveal some disturbing details. Apparently, this guy was interviewed and his house was searched 12 days after Abby and Libby's murder because Anthony Schatz account was talking to Libby the night before the murder. It's also believed that it wasn't just Keegan Klein that had access to the Anthony Schatz social media account, but also possibly his father. They believed that it was at least two people who had access to the accounts based on the syntax or the wording that was chosen in some of the message, because they seemed to be written by two different people.
Yeah.
The transcripts also revealed that Klein said his father was abusive to both him and his ex-wife, the father's ex-wife, and that when Keegan Klein was 20 years old, his father slept with a 17-year-old. Keegan Klein also revealed that his father was freaking out when the photo of the Delphi suspect was released by police in February of 2017. So something's going on there, and it's an ongoing investigation, and I'm hoping that they're about to solve this. Because it's pretty recently.
What a fucking mess it sounds like, too.
Yeah. It's a lot of stuff has been uncovered in the past few years.
Yeah. And you think with like modern technology and them recording, the girls recording what happened and all of that stuff, that they would be able to put two and two together. But it just shows like, if you want to get away with something, there are ways to get away with stuff, even like nowadays.
Right.
If you know all of the phones, and right, whatever, yeah,
technology, ping, and like whatever.
Yeah. In one of the cases that I was researching for next week, I talk about CCTV footage, and I started like going down this deep dive of CCTV footage overseas. Sorry, I have pneumonia, so I have a really bad cough. So hold on. Excuse me. It's getting better. I was researching CCTV footage, and overseas, there is so much more CCTV footage captured than in the United States. Like, we have, like, this weird lock on free speech. You can say whatever you want to say. However, we have, like, this weird, like, want to keep things private as much as possible and not be recorded. And it's like, you can say whatever you want to say, and you can do whatever you want to do. That's fine. But there needs to be some type of monitoring on it for this type of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why we are so, like, overseas has so much more capturing of CCTV footage. Like, when you look at the Amanda Knox case, for example, there's a lot of mentioning of CCTV footage. If that were to happen over here, that would not have been the case.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand it. Like, CCTV footage would have been really helpful in this case, I feel like.
Right. Like, if there was in the parking lot area or whatever of the trails, if there was, you could see the car, you could see the license plate, you could see the guys getting out of it, whatever, have some timestamps.
Yep. Yep. And I'm not sure, but I think overseas CCTV is government mandated, or it's government placed. So it wouldn't be like Walmart placing their own security cameras. It would be the government placing cameras in a Walmart parking lot. I think that's how it goes. I could be wrong on that. But here I feel like it is more like company by company. And that's why some people shy away from it, whether it be too expensive or they don't want the government watching them or whatever. But it's like, if you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to hide.
Right.
But you could save a life.
Right.
Or solve crime.
I think since it's such a small town, I think just the thought is like, oh, nothing like that could ever happen here. This is such a small town. We don't lock our doors, kind of a thing. So, like,
and it's like, no, dude, lock your fucking doors.
Yeah.
Get a security system. Like, that's, you need to do that nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, you really do.
For sure.
It's scary.
Yeah. So that is the Delphi.
So that's the latest is murders.
But yeah.
And they still know. They know pretty much nothing.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they know, because this thing with this guy and his dad, I don't know. He's already in jail, so it's not like for other things. So it's not like they're really worried about like catching the guy because he's already in custody for other gross things. It seems likely though.
Yeah.
That he was probably the perpetrator.
Okay. Okay. So we had Dorothea Puente. We had Norwegian Black Metal Murders. We had Ramirez 1, Ramirez 2. Then we had Heaven's Gate Cult. And then we had listener stories. We had a lot of like closed ends. Now we're going to be opening all the ends because this one is open-ended. And I'm going to tell you next week's is open-ended.
Oh, and the week after? Guess what? It's open-ended.
I love how we get on these strings of like consistent, like frustrating themes. Without even trying to. It's completely without even trying. It just fucking happens.
I'm not sure I understand.
Oh, Siri. I'm sorry, Siri.
You don't understand.
Siri doesn't understand either. I'm not sure I understand. All right, guys. Well, if you have any other open-ended crimes that you want us to look up, feel free and email us contact@perfectstranglers.com or drop us a line on our social medias and we will look into it for you. Other than that, we hope you enjoyed today's unsolved, open-ended crime. And we will chit-chat with you next Thursday.
Bye, everyone.